again, we just want to re-emphasise the wealth we gave a few minutes ago. It's good to see everyone that's here again tonight, and we just want to welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we do trust that as we're here tonight that we might truly hear his voice speaking to us. Now, if you leave this meeting tonight just having heard the voice of the preacher, then really the meeting will have accomplished nothing. But if you hear his voice, the sweet, tender voice of the Lord Jesus, then this meeting, if you respond to that voice, then this meeting will have accomplished much in your life for time and for all eternity. And we're really praying that the Lord would speak tonight and that the Lord would take dealings in our lives. That's what we need tonight. We need to have dealings with God. We need to have dealings with the Lord Jesus. You know, there's great spiritual forces operating in our world tonight. There's the forces of darkness. And men and women are under the power of darkness, under the dominion of the very prince of darkness. And we need to have dealings with Christ, the one that can break these chains that bind us, the one that can take us out of that realm of spiritual and moral darkness and bring us into the realm of eternal light and eternal glory and eternal salvation. And we need tonight to have definite dealings with God, to have definite dealings with Christ. And I just want to challenge your hearts, even before we read the scriptures, has there been a time in your life when you've had dealings with God? Dealings with God. You see, that's really what becoming a Christian is all about. It's having a personal encounter with God in your life. It's having a personal encounter with His Son, the Lord Jesus. You see, people don't drift into Christianity. People are not born into Christianity. There's got to be a time when they have a personal dealing with God, a personal dealing with the Savior. And that's what we heard last night. Those of us who were here last night, we heard the story of a young man that had a personal dealing, a personal encounter with Christ in his life. An encounter that made a change, that made a difference, that changed his life completely, that changed his desires and that changed his destiny. You know, before John Donne had that personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, he was a sinner, lost, helpless, weak, bound by chains. But he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus and those chains of sin were snapped. No longer did he want to go out thieving. No longer did he want to run around with the drugs and the drink. He was finished with a life of crime. He was finished with a life of self-centeredness. He was finished with a life of worldliness. He was finished with a world or a life of sin. It was all gone. Why? Because he had an encounter with Christ that changed him. And it not only changed him as far as his behaviour in this world was concerned. It changed him as far as his destiny for eternity is concerned. And John Donne, before he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus, was a poor, lost sinner on the road to an endless hell. Until he met the Savior. And John Donne tonight is a saint of God on the way to heaven. And what made the difference was not a religion. Because John told us last night that he was brought up in a religious home. He had religion right up to his neck and beyond it. And it did nothing for him. You see, religion does nothing for anyone. Religion is dead. What people need tonight is not a dead religion. What people need is an encounter with a living Savior, with a living Christ. And you know, when an individual has an encounter with the Lord Jesus, then it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And I wonder if you had an encounter with Jesus Christ in your life. Has there been a time when you've really felt His touch in your life, when you've heard His voice, and you've responded, and you've known His saving and His healing and His delivering power in your life? The Lord Jesus is alive tonight. He's alive. You know, that's why we can preach this message with absolute confidence. That's why we're not ashamed of the message and we're not ashamed of the one that we present. Because yes, He did die. He died for our sins once and He rose from the dead. He's alive and He's alive forever. The Bible says He's able. He's able to save completely all those that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives. My friend, there's a man in heaven tonight. A glorified man, an exalted man. He sits there in all the preeminence of his divine being. And you can come to know him. You can come to know him as your Savior tonight. You can have an encounter with the Lord Jesus tonight that will change you completely. You might have come into this hall as a poor, lost sinner, just wandering aimlessly through life with all its misery and problems and pressures. My friend, you can leave this meeting changed. Your sins forgiven. And the knowledge that you're a member of God's family, that you're saved, you're destined for heaven.
all through Christ. And through our personal faith and trust in Him and in the value of His finished work on the cross at Calvary. My friend, we're preaching Christ tonight. What a glorious message. What a privilege. What an honour. Just to exalt Christ before you. Just to speak of Him. There's nobody like Him. There's nobody like the Saviour. He's my Saviour tonight. I wonder, is He yours? Has there been that time when you've come into contact with Him? That time when you've come to Him as a poor, needy sinner. And you've just confessed your need and you've trusted Him. You've received Him into your heart. And you're able to sing tonight. The wonderful change that Christ has wrought, that Christ has made in your life. We're glad to see you tonight. We want to warmly welcome you. We want to give you a warm invitation to join us as often as you can as these meetings continue in the will of God. We'll be here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and Thursday night at 8 o'clock. We'd love to see you back again. If God wills, we don't know about the future. It's God's desire for these meetings to continue, then if God puts that burden in our heart, that we'll continue the meetings. But my friend, there's no guarantee that you'll ever hear the message again. Tonight might be your last opportunity. The Bible tells us that life is just like a vapor. It just appears and it disappears. And there's people that were alive when these meetings started 4.5 weeks ago, and tonight they're gone, they're in eternity. People in the area, you come up and Connell and come the area around about. And they were fitting well 4.5 weeks ago and they're gone out into eternity. Life is so short, it's so unreliable. The surest thing about life is death. It's in every one of our tracks. My friend, you're here tonight with an opportunity to hear the gospel. You're here tonight with a tremendous privilege to sit under the sound of God's word, to hear about a living Saviour that can change your life. What a privilege. My friend, you might not get that privilege tomorrow night. Tomorrow night you might be gone. This might be your last night on earth. This might be your last opportunity to get right with God. And God's given you this opportunity tonight. Will you let it slip from your grasp? But I wonder, my friend, will you receive the opportunity that God has given you? And will you come to that point tonight when you realise that your greatest need in life is to know God, is to know His Son, is to know God's Son as your personal Saviour, and to know His changing power and His forgiving power in your life. My friend, solemn tonight, it is solemn. This meeting's solemn in the light of a great eternity. We're just here for a wee while and we've got to leave this world behind someday and we're out into eternity. My friend, where are you bound for eternity? If this was your last night, if you were to die in the condition that you're in the soul condition that you're in right now, where would you be? Where would you be if you were to die right now? Would you be in heaven? Or would you be in hell? There's no other destinies. There's no other places for us to go. There's no escape routes. It's either heaven or hell. And my friend, the reality is that cold, clammy hand of death could suddenly lay hold on you tonight. Where are you bound? Heaven or hell for eternity? What are you depending on? Are you depending on your good works to get you to heaven? Are you depending on coming to these meetings to get you to heaven? My friend, that's not going to work. There's only one solid foundation that we can rest upon, that will secure our soul for heaven, and that is the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. My friend, we're praying tonight that as you hear the message of the gospel, that you would have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, that you would feel your need of Him, and that tonight that you would trust Him to be your Saviour and your Lord. I just want to read just a verse, a part of a verse in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. Verse number 24. Just a few words just at the end of the verse. And it says these words concerning the Lord Jesus, that He could not be hid. That's all we're going to read, and we're going to ponder these words tonight. The Lord Jesus could not be hid.
That would really tell me tonight that there was something special about Christ. There was something unique about him. That there was just something about the life of the Lord Jesus that just set him apart from everyone else. And wherever Christ went, he was noticed. He could never be concealed. He could never be hidden away. Such was the uniqueness of his life. Such was the beauty of his life. Such was the power of his life. That wherever the Lord Jesus Christ, he was made manifest and people were drawn to him. I wonder, my friend, have you ever been drawn to Christ? The Lord Jesus made a promise one day. He says, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. My friend, what we want to do tonight is just to seek to lift Christ up. And as we lift Christ up tonight, we're laying hold on his promise. He says, I, if I am lifted up, will draw all men to me. And we pray that as we speak about Christ tonight, as we lift him up in the midst of this company, that you would see something attractive about him. That you would see something beautiful and lovely about him. That your heart would just be drawn out to him. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he couldn't be hidden. Oh, there was something obscure about his birth, wasn't there? He wasn't born in a palace. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he wasn't born in any of the major financial cities or political cities or commercial cities of his day. The Lord Jesus was born in a little humble village called Bethlehem. He was born in a stable. He was wrapped in swaddling bands and laid in a manger, but there was something special about that child. And even in his birth, at his incarnation, and his coming into this world, he couldn't be hid. And we remember that even the very night that Jesus was born, there were angels in the sky. And these angels were praising God, and these angels were announcing this glorious truth that unto you this day there is born in the city of David a Saviour, Christ the Lord. And it seemed as if all heaven's attention was focused that night on that little child that was lying in swaddling bands in a cattle trough. As far as the people in Bethlehem was concerned, they were having their night's rest. They'd been working through the day and they had eaten their supper and they'd gone to sleep and they were anticipating another day with a normal round of daily life, but unaware of the fact that all heaven's attention was focused and fixed on what was taking place in that little stable. The birth of a Saviour. The birth of my Saviour. The birth of my Lord. The birth of my friend. How it must have thrilled the hearts of those shepherds as they heard that angelic announcement. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Saviour, Christ the Lord. These shepherds did something that was unnatural that day. They left their sheep on the hillside. And they made their way down the slopes and into the village to find this child that was born. And they just gazed upon him. And they marveled. And they wondered. He couldn't be hid. And there he is, just minutes old, just hours old, just breathing his first breath of this polluted world and its atmosphere. And the shepherds come from their hills just to gaze on him. The Saviour. Oh, my friend, I wonder, have you really grasped tonight the impact and the importance associated with that little child that was born in Bethlehem? Well, later on in his life, he would be referred to as the son of Mary, and some would even refer to him as the son of Joseph, but my friend, he was the son of God. He was God himself, incarnate in human flesh. That's what the Bible speaks about, isn't it? They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God, God with us. God manifest in flesh. It's
little wonder he couldn't be hit.
It's little wonder the angels sang their praises. It's little wonder the shepherds left the hillside and came to gaze on the child, Emmanuel, God with us.
The great Creator had taken the form of a creature and was lying in all his lowliness and humility in the arms of an earthly mother. Why? 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 Ever wonder why? Why did God become flesh?
Why did the Almighty stoop into the form of a babe? And why was he born in this world in humility and lowliness? Why?
To save. To save sinners. To save you. To save me. That's why he came. My friend, I want to tell you something tonight. I want to tell you that you're precious to God. Now you might feel as if you're nothing in this world. And you might feel that you're a nobody.
And you might feel that you're nothing more than a nuisance in society, and your family have turned against you, and society has turned against you, and everyone has turned against you, and you just feel at times a sense of self, of low self-esteem and self-worth.
My friend, I want to tell you, you're precious. Just where you are and just as you are. You are so precious. That God left heaven in the form of his Son and took up human form and was born in a manger. That's how precious you are to God.
That's how interested God is in you. That's how desirous God is of having a relationship with you and having you with him in heaven for all eternity, that he stooped down from heaven into time.
Born as a babe in Bethlehem, born as the Saviour. Jesus just means Jehovah, God the Saviour. It's little wonder that he couldn't be hidden.
It's little wonder even in the lowliness and humility of his birth there were people attracted him, because that little child that was born was Jesus the Saviour. And the Father had sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world.
He's my Saviour. He's yours. You know, the wonderful thing is this, he can be your Saviour. Just by accepting him. Just by receiving him. Just by embracing him. And that's all God wants you to do tonight. He just wants you to embrace his Son. To receive him. And to acknowledge him as your Saviour. You see, later on in the Lord Jesus' experience, when he was very, very young, his mother took him to the temple. And there was a man in the temple called Simeon, and he took that young child in his arms. And this is what he said. He said, "Let us now thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And he's holding Christ in his arms.
He's embracing Christ to his bosom, and he's saying to God, "God, I'm ready to go. Let us now thy servant depart in peace, because mine eyes have seen thy salvation."
And he saw the salvation of God in that little child, and he held him in his arms, and he was ready for heaven. My friend, those of us who are saved tonight, there came a time when we just embraced the Lord Jesus by faith.
And we just hold him.
And holding Christ and trusting in Christ and believing in Christ. My friend, we're ready for heaven. We're ready for heaven. You see, old Simeon had no fear of dying. In fact, it couldn't have come quick enough for him. Because his eyes had seen the salvation of God in Christ. And he blessed him. And he was ready. I wonder, my friend, do you fear death tonight?
The Bible talks about those who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage.
It's one of the taboo subjects, isn't it?
Nobody really wants to talk about death today.
So hurtful. It's so final. It brings with it so much tragedy and sorrow and bereavement and grief and loss, and nobody wants to talk about it. But I want you to face up to it today. Are you ready for it? Simeon was ready. Because his eyes had seen the salvation of God, and his eye and his hands had embraced it. And he had Christ in his arms, and he was ready to go. Oh, my friend, thank God tonight. Those of us who are saved can say to death, oh death, where's your sting, oh grave, here's your victory. Because we've seen the salvation of God. We've seen the salvation of God in Christ, and we've embraced him by faith, and we've held him to our breath, and he's ours, and we're Christ. With Christ, we're ready to go, ready for heaven. Are you today? Do you have that assurance? You see, my friend, salvation isn't in Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, says the Bible, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is only in the Lord Jesus. You'll not find your salvation in your church, you know. And you'll not merit salvation by your good works. My friend, you'll only find salvation in Christ. He's the only Saviour. And there's got to be a time in your life when you embrace him by faith. There's got to be a time when you trust in him. There's got to be a time when you receive him. When you grasp hold of him, as Simeon grasped him, and hold him to your breast, and say, my salvation, my Saviour. You see, Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, she sung a beautiful song. As the truth of all that was happening in her life was being unfolded to her, she says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour, my Saviour, my Saviour. I wonder, do you have a Saviour tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ came to be the Saviour. Singular, unique, alone. Only one Saviour. And everyone that's going to be saved will be saved through Christ and through his atoning work on the cross. There's salvation in none other but Christ. He's the Saviour, the only Saviour. Praise God tonight, he's not only the Saviour, he's mine. My Saviour. Is he yours tonight? He's available for you. I don't know how many people were in the courts of the temple that day when Mary brought the young child into the temple, but my friend, it was only Mary, it was only Simeon, and it was only old Anna that really came and grasped hold of Christ. The rest were oblivious. Maybe the rest didn't feel the need. Maybe the rest were quite satisfied with their religion and their outward form of righteousness. And maybe they were just, well, they were just all blinded. I wonder, do you really feel your need of Christ tonight? Do you feel your need of a Saviour? One that will save you from the penalty of your sins. Because we're all sinners. Sin demands judgment. Sin demands a penalty being exacted upon us. And the penalty for our sin is death and judgment for eternity. We need a Saviour. Someone to save us from the penalty of our sin. Someone to deliver us and save us from the power of our sin. Sinners, we need a Saviour. You need a Saviour tonight. Oh, that you would feel your need of him. Know that your eyes would open to see him. The Saviour that God has provided, his own blessed Son. And oh, that you would embrace him by faith tonight. Oh, that you would receive him and make him your own. know that you might leave this hall tonight saying that your spirit is rejoicing in Christ, your Saviour, your Saviour. Well, my friend, we're just presenting him to me. I wonder, my friend, what's your impression on Christ? You know, when the people of Jerusalem, when the people of Israel saw the Lord Jesus when he was here, this is what they said. They said, there's no beauty in him that we should desire. That was public opinion. If the Gallup or all these polls that you get on your daily newspapers, if they'd done their public opinion polls in Jerusalem and in Israel 2,000 years ago, this was the conclusion. There's no beauty in him that we should desire him. We don't want him. We don't need him. That's about today, isn't it? That's just about today. And I suppose if we did a public opinion poll and you come look in the area around about, what do you think of Christ? People say, well, there's no beauty in him that we should desire. What do we need him for? Maybe that's just been your attitude over the years. Eh? Why do I need Christ? Eh? Why do I need a Saviour? Why do I need Jesus? What can he do for me? My friend, I want to tell you tonight, you do need him. And he can do everything for you. You need him because you're a lost sinner. You need him because right now you're under God's judgment because of your sin and you're heading out for a lost eternity. My friend, you need the Lord Jesus to be your Saviour because he's the only one that can save. And the Lord Jesus, my friend, praise his name, he'll save you tonight if you'll just receive him. If you'll just believe in him, if you'll just trust him, if you'll just embrace him by faith. My friend, he'll not just save you, but he'll come into that life of yours and he'll give it meaning and purpose and reality and fulfillment and joy and peace and happiness. My friend, nobody that trusted Christ was ever disappointed. Nobody that ever came to Christ was turned away by him. Everyone that came to Christ, they embraced him and received him. He says, him that comes to me, I'll never turn them away. And everyone that came to the Lord Jesus and knew the embrace of Christ and the saving power of Christ, my friend, every one of them was satisfied. And those of us that are rejoicing in Christ our Saviour tonight, we can truly sing, he's not a disappointment. Are you disappointed? Because your friends have let you down, your family's let you down, the world's let you down, everybody's let you down. You're disappointed. You're sad, you're weary. You're heavy laden. My friend, the Lord Jesus will never disappoint you. He'll never let you down. He wants you to come to him tonight. He wants you to trust him. The only Saviour for sinners. He couldn't have beheaded his incarnation. My friend, he couldn't have beheaded his crucifixion. He was the very focal point of the whole of the city of Jerusalem. Every eye was gazing on him. But the tragedy is that most of them were mocking him. Most of the folks in Jerusalem just sat down and they laughed at him. They laughed at that blessed bleeding man on the centre tree at Calvary. And they just said, we've got no time for him, we've got no room for him, we've got no need for him. Away with him, away with him, we don't want this to reign over us. They nailed him on that accursed cross at Calvary. They sat down and they watched him die. That's really the hardness of man's heart, isn't it? That's the hostility. Do you think you would have been any different if you'd been there? Do you really think that you'd have been any different? Who was it that was sitting around the cross laughing at Christ? It's just the ordinary people of Jerusalem. It wasn't your retinue mob. It wasn't all the public activists. It was just all the ordinary people. All just sitting, gazing in Christ. Some of them passing by and wagging the finger. Some of them laughing, mocking at the Christ. Just the ordinary people. The people that he came to save, the people that he came to love, the people that he came to heal, the people that he came to bless, and they just rejected him and nailed him on a cross and just sat down there. Are you any different? Because the Lord Jesus loves you. The Lord Jesus came to die for you, to save you. He shed his blood that your sins may be forgiven. He shed his blood that you may be made right with God, that you may be in heaven. He died for your sins. Maybe you're just sitting and listening to the message and it just goes in one ear and out the other and you're unmoved and untouched. The whole message doesn't matter anything to you. But praise God, there was a little band of women at that cross and they looked at the Lord Jesus as they hung there. And they realised that in Christ there was their only hope. That he was the Saviour, he was the Messiah, the sent one of God. Wonder, my friend, how do you view that man in the centre cross tonight as he's uplifted? Because the one that was born to be the Saviour was the one that died to be the Saviour. Because in order that he might save sinners, he had to die for our sins. He had to take our place on that cross. He had to bear the judgment and the punishment that we deserve. He, the just one, had to die for we, the unjust, before he could bring us to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross. He died on that cross to be the Saviour of sinners. Maybe you just sit and say, well, so what? What difference does that really make to me? My friend, it makes all the difference in relation to your eternal destiny, in relation to your present happiness and your present relationship with God. It makes all the difference. Because if you remain unmoved by the sufferings of Christ, if you remain untouched by the death of Christ, if it means nothing to you tonight, then you'll remain in your sins. And you'll remain separated from God. And you'll die in your sins. And you'll perish forever if you're unmoved and untouched and unconcerned about the death of Christ. But if you see in that dying form your only hope, if you see in that bleeding man your only opportunity of salvation, and you embrace him by faith and you trust in him and you acknowledge that it was your sins that he was dying for, then that will make all the difference in your life. It will make all the difference as far as your eternal destiny is concerned. The Lord Jesus Christ is presented tonight. He's exalted. He can't be hid. How can he possibly be hid? He's so unique. He's so glorious. 2,000 years and more have run since the day that he was born. And he's still being uplifted. He's still being presented to needy sinners. He's the only hope. He's the only one in whom we can find life and forgiveness and salvation. My friend, you miss Christ and you miss everything. Turn your back on him, reject him, and you reject God and you reject salvation and you reject heaven. You fail to embrace Christ tonight and you'll embrace eternal judgment. Christ is the only hope of salvation. Salvation's in him and him alone. I wonder, my friend, will you receive him by faith? Will you cry out to him tonight? Will you embrace him and acknowledge him as your Saviour and your Lord? Jesus loves you. He died for you on the cross. He rose again triumphantly from the dead. He couldn't be hid in his resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ was seen. He was seen alive after his passion, after his suffering on the cross. He was seen. He couldn't be hid. So glorious, so unique was his glorious person that he could never be hid. And men saw him alive after his death. Alive from the dead. Men saw him as he left this scene of time and ascended, and angels saw him take his place in glory. He's alive in heaven. He's able to save completely all those that come to God by him. My friend, there's a way back to God tonight for poor, lost, guilty sinners. There's a way back, but that way is through Christ. Jesus says, I am the way. No man comes to the Father apart from me. My friend, if you intend being in heaven, if you intend having a relationship with God, then you need to come through the Lord Jesus. He's the only way. and we present him to you tonight. And as we present Christ to you, as we lift him up, we claim his promise in faith. Aye, if I be lifted up, will draw all men. Our gracious God and Father, again in that precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we just bow in thy presence. Lord, we claim your promise tonight that you've said, aye, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. And Lord, we've sought to lift thee high tonight. We've sought to exalt thee, to present thee, O Lord, as the only Saviour for guilty sinners. And Lord, we just claim that promise that has been made. And we pray that tonight, Lord, that you would draw all kinds of men under thyself, that there be those in this meeting tonight that would just be drawn to thee for salvation. We ask it in your precious name.